Political hot potato will not be heard tonight because, well, we're not ready to go there. Instead, let's discuss game shows on the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and instead of playing political hot potato, we have a tossed salad worth of game shows.
Good night, everybody.
A regular cornucopia of game shows, and Chico's mind is really not where it should be.
Well, no, we have the tomatoes of the Tournament of Champions, the lettuce of Survivor, the coconuts of Drag Race.
Coconuts. The
palm salad of Deal or No Deal Island, and not one but two forms of dressing on Wheel of Fortune, because we had two back-to-back $1 million moments.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we did. And I need my shark repellent.
We're gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah, we do. So, we got a lot of news, not a lot of time. Let's go.
All right. From somewhere in America, We Love to Interrupt is on. Let's go.
Whee!
It is so nice to have people listening again. This is WLTI, episode 436, here at 5 and 1. I am Jason Block, your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, making sure everybody is swimming in the rain. Be careful out there.
Wait. People listen to us?
Yeah, well, they do now, because we're actually getting shows out on time. Who knew? Anyway.
Thanks, everybody at the home office, for making that happen.
Yes, exactly.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all, and I've got Chico and Gordon with me. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
But I need a Jeopardy board right now, and very quickly.
Here's the reveal.
Let's go.
Okay, so we have our final nine, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. The field of 27 has been whittled to the final nine. We have them all. But first, here's a bit of a recap on how we got there. Starting with the Thursday show, where we have Javeria Zaheer, Kevin Bell, and Luigi De Guzman, all of which are awesome people, by the way. And going into the final, it is a horse race, basically, between Luigi and Javeria, because Luigi has 22,000, Javeria has 23,400, and Kevin is really hoping that those two mess up.
Hold off before you get there, actually, because Javeria was crushing at the end of the Jeopardy round, but Luigi hit not one, but both daily doubles and bet big in the second, and got it, okay? And I believe Javeria had the first one. But at the end, boy, is it close, right, Chico?
Yeah, we just went over those scores. And right now, Kevin's basically hoping, please bet against each other so I can bet zero and come from behind to win.
The category is world travel. The clue, Mr. Chico.
The clue in world travel, the name of this service that began November 14th, 1994, echoes the Étoile du Nord, which linked Paris, Brussels, and Amsterdam from 1927.
Okay, quick fun fact here. I almost actually took this train, not once, but twice, back in 1999 and 2004 when I went to London. Both times. I didn't get a chance to do this, but I actually have seen the trains. They're gorgeous. It is the Eurostar service, actually.
Gordon?
I had Lady Godiva's Eurostar service because we put the serving in service.
Yes, you did. Kevin bet nothing because he said, what is your rail, right?
Yeah.
He got it wrong. Luigi gets it right. What did Ken say?
Ken said, Étoile du Nord means north Star. The Eurostar is the high-speed rail that links London to the rest of Europe through the Channel, which is what Javeria wrote, so she's out. And Luigi advances with a total of $43,999. Now we go to the Friday show, and it comes with a disclaimer. Brian Henniger, one of the players in the Friday show, is a friend of the site and a friend of ours and a contributor of the site. You can listen to
And by the way, I was the only person that called it that the friend of the site would win this game. You two are traitor tots.
Okay. Well,
you
you're right.
Whatever gets you to bed at night. Whatever.
Right. Okay. So at the
You said the last one. You said everything's been up. Listen to the last one. Anyways.
All right. Well, at the end of the first round. Well, first of all, Steven was just having. He had a bad day to pick a bad day. Okay, because he was getting negged all over the place. Okay.
He was negged all. Yep.
And at the end of round one, Brian is down only $400 to Josh. Okay.
And then, okay. You know, Brian had a bit of a trip up on a daily double. Josh caught a daily double, but Brian had that game face on and came back to take the lead. 12,800 to 8,400. Steven on negative 800. His day is done. So let's go to Final Jeopardy with the category Countries of the World. And I'll tell you right now, this was a tournament-level clue. Just saying.
Right. Now the question is, I would want to know if they would have said what, if they would have accepted something. Go ahead.
All right. Let's go into the clue. Fearful of independence in 1975, around 120,000 of this country's people, a third of the population, fled to the Netherlands.
Would they have accepted Dutch Guiana instead of Suriname?
Let me check, because I think that's the former name of
Suriname. This is the former name of the country. I know that, but the question is, would they have accepted it? I don't know. Gordon, what do you think in the Jeopardy rules?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. But
I defer over to the chief.
Okay.
That's me.
All right. So, Josh said Papua New Guinea. Okay. And Ken was freaking savage here. Read what Ken said, and I love it.
Okay. Here's what Ken said. I believe Alex would sometimes say, oh, you're not even in the right part of the world. But I would never do that. I thought that was always a little rough on the contestants.
And everyone laughed. So Brian said, what is Belgium? And Ken said,
No, you have to think about the New World in South America. The Dutch Guiana gained independence in 1975, and it is now Suriname. Brian ends up betting enough to win $87.99 to $39.95. There are some people on the interwebs thinking that he may have over-celebrated. These guys would applaud, I don't know, some guys getting thrown out of a window.
Well, no, they would applaud Darby Allin shattering glass at the AEW Revolution, that potentially hurting people. But hey, but that being said, our friend is in the semifinals. Yes, I think a fanfare needs to be played for that.
Here comes the fanfare.
Here comes the money.
Not that one, but okay.
Here comes the money.
There we go. That'll work. Now,
it does come the money. It will. Each person wins a guaranteed $10,000 for winning that game. So yeah, here comes the money.
Here comes the money. But now we have, in my opinion, one of the greatest upsets in the history of Jeopardy.
Yes, we have. From Toronto, a scenic artist, Ray Lalonde. From Pennsylvania, a professor, Melissa Clapper. And from Chicago, a Hollywood big shot, Ike Barinholtz.
The Celebrity Jeopardy winner. Okay. All right. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Ray was up to 5,400. Ike had 4,800 and Melissa had 3,800. So Ike was hanging in there. Okay.
Ike was indeed hanging in there. Then Ike finds the first daily double and he goes all in and doubles up.
Right.
Melissa finds the second daily double, goes all in and doubles up. And all of a sudden they screwed around and gave us a match here because Melissa has 21,400. Ike has 14,800. Ray has 13,800. And if Emma Stone is watching, she's probably saying, okay, maybe I do want to get into Celebrity Jeopardy so I can play with the real boys when I win the whole thing.
Right. So the final Jeopardy. So we have a ball game as we get to Poets of Ancient Rome. The clue, Chico.
Far from Rome, this first century poet wrote, "The leader's anger done. Grant me the right to die in my native country."
I had absolutely no clue because this is one of my, you know, open wounds, you know, open source for categories. So I had no clue.
I am not a classics person either. Gordon, the correct answer.
You know, when I was thinking about it, I was just thinking Braveheart. So I just said who's Mel Gibson's character that he played on Braveheart.
William Wallace. But, so, Ray got it right, but what did Ken say?
Ray said, who is Ovid? Yes, the great Roman poet who died in exile for writing erotic poetry that was a little too erotic. The best reason to be exiled, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all know this, but Ken Jennings is a freak.
Excuse me. There once was a man.
Chico, where are we all moving to after people see our podcast?
Ovidlandia. Anyway, so Ray gets 8,000 and has 21,800. Ike gets it right and bids 13,801, and he has 28,601 because he was betting. I don't know what he was betting.
He bet
but
13,801, so he would have been left with 999 if he got it wrong.
Okay. Melissa says, who is juvenile, and Ike Barinholtz is a semi-finalist. Holy crap. Now, Gordon, for real, this is one of the – is this an upset to you or no?
No. I understand maybe on paper, but when you get to this point, it's sort of like the NBA or Major League Baseball, anything else. As a talent, you're good enough to beat anybody else at any given time. And I also think by saying it's an upset, you're sort of poo-pooing Ike's talent, and he's really good.
He is like really good.
Everybody else is.
Yeah, he is really good. So on yesterday's show, on Tuesday, we have Chico. Who do we got?
We've got Ben Chan from Green Bay, Justin Folsom from Canton, Georgia, student at Brown, and Emmett Stanton from Baltimore, a freelance writer. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Ben is smoking the competition with 11,400 to 3,200 for Emmett and 1,600 for Justin. At the end of the Double Jeopardy round, it is Ben's game to lose, and how? 29,800, thanks to, if I can just look here, a daily double bet of 4,000 on mountains early in the round. Justin has 10,000, but Emmett went all in and lost, and it didn't get any better for him. He ends the game in the red by $2,000.
So Ben doesn't have to bet a bleep thing in chemical elements. Chico, the clue.
The clue. Isolated in 1945 during uranium fission research, it was named for an ancient deity to suggest humans gaining a new power.
And, the thing is that Ben had it right, but changed it because both of them thought it was thorium, but it is actually promethium. And I'm going to look it up what number element that is on the table. But again, Ben, you know, that's atomic number 61.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thorium, like nuclear energy, like bringing down fire from the heavens. Justin bets $42. Man after our own heart. Ben didn't have to do anything. He didn't, and he advances as we go to the final quarterfinal featuring Troy Meyer, who, by the way, is a new father as we record this. Congratulations, Troy.
Yes. Now, by the way, I just have a question. Does he have a condition like some of the other people have that he has to sit? Because people were asking. I was reading. I assume he has some sort of condition.
I think he has some sort of condition. I do not know off the top of my head what it is. But Troy did play seated in a tall chair in his 6th and 7th games of his original run and in the Tournament of Champions, according to our friends at J Archive.
As you said, Troy Meyer, Deb Bilodeau, who just won her Champions wild card, right? And who else?
And Sean McShane out of South Boston, and going into the final. Well, actually, yeah, going into the final, it's Troy's game to lose. $38,400. Deb has $8,400.
Because he doubled up on, he went all in on a heavens and earth category and doubled to $11,800 early in the second round, and it was early in the double Jeopardy round, and it was over by then.
Oh, but yes. Okay, so final Jeopardy category, American Literary History. This is another tournament level clue, I thought. But
here it is. I did. Yep.
The country is celebrating 100 years of freedom, 100 years too soon, says The Fire Next Time, published in this year.
I was so close. I was in the right area. But not enough. I'll just say what I said. What is 1965?
Gordon, the correct response, please.
Oh, you know I'm going. 1869.
Gordon would... Gordon says... You know what, Gordon? You are actually in the right era because this was by James Baldwin, who wrote these lines on the 100th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. The correct response was, what is 1963?
I was too off. I was thinking the end of the Civil War, not the Emancipation Proclamation. I was in the right area, but Troy didn't have to do a thing. So he is the final
semifinalist. And guess what, folks?
We have brackets.
We've got the brackets. Woo! All right,
yes.
So game one, we have...
That's tomorrow night.
That's tomorrow night. We have Jared Watson, Ben Chan, and Ike Barinholtz. Game two on Friday will feature David Sibley, Yogesh Raut, and Emily Sands. And the final semifinal will be next Monday, featuring Luigi De Guzman, Troy Meyer, and Brian Henniger. All 9 of these guys absolutely crushed it in the quarterfinals. They deserved their space, and frankly, I cannot...
And honestly, anybody could beat anybody on a good day, okay? So, of course, we are rooting for Brian to go to the final.
Not even going to make it a secret how much we're rooting for Brian here.
Yeah, but I just have to say, look who he's up against, though. Oof, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I would love to see? I want to see Barinholtz in the finals. I want to see it.
I want to see that, too. I want to see what he can do when he is up against the best of the best of the best. To wit, I would count Ike Barinholtz among one of the best of the best of
the
best.
Well, he's in the top. He's the top 9, man. He's the top 9. But you know what? We're going to see some excellent Jeopardy. And whatever happens, we will see 2 games of the finals as we will record next week. So we will know who the finalists are and how far they go into the... We will not have a winner by that point.
Obviously, no.
Okay, and remember, for those who don't know, we're doing GOAT format. You know what GOAT, that's the greatest
it's
of all
best
time.
Of it's the best of three to win.
No. First to three.
No,
not best.
Oh, the first to three. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, first to three. So it could go as many as seven. So we'll see what this happens, and then we'll go to the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament. But more on that next week. Let us go to the workroom, shall we?
Yes, because This week on Drag Race, we have, I don't know if you're a big fan of Wednesday, but the name of the episode is See You Next Wednesday.
Okay.
All right, so we start with the mini challenge, which is doing the best spit take.
Right.
Cynthia Wynn won that. And for the main challenge, you are creating and designing a neo-goth look from scratch. Obviously, because the title, See You Next Wednesday.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So here was the interesting thing. Who was the one who had help with her dress? Was it Mia or was it Morphine? It was Mia, right? It was Mia. Okay. So Mia was called out for not having her dress sewn correctly. And Plasma was called out for having not a coherent look. Would that be the correct term?
An incoherent look. There was a lack of vision on Plasma's part, let's just say.
Yes, with a stolen wig. Now.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
They're
not
a stolen, a borrowed wig from Plain Jane. So, Plain Jane did not use her immunity potion, which means that she is going to be using it next week, no matter what, or maybe not. You never know. Okay. So the lip sync was to Bloody Mary, the Wednesday dance TikTok version, which is the sped up version by Lady Gaga. Mia Amon LePage won the lip sync. And by the way, she didn't just win it. She ate it. Ate it, cooked it, and spit it out. Because while Plasma was just there and basically not even moving around for the most part, Mia Amon LePage was just doing everything and anything to win. And Plasma was eliminated. Now,
yeah,
but I have
your bottom two were Mia Amon LePage and Plasma. Obviously.
Now I have a question. Now, Gordon, I have a question for you. What is more important to get an elimination? Mia's one mistake and winning the lip sync, or Plasma's consistency, even though she didn't win any of the design challenges, and the incoherent look and losing the lip sync?
I don't understand what your question is, Jay.
No, what I'm saying is that do you think RuPaul made the right call here?
Yeah. Obviously, in the lip sync, yeah. I mean, there was no question about it. Plasma got blown out in the lip sync. It's almost sort of like she was so stunned that she was in the bottom that she forgot that she had to lip sync, and maybe she thought that RuPaul was going to save her because she had two wins. And that ain't how this works. And if it did, it ain't how it works anymore. So, no. And to be quite honest, Plasma's was pretty rotten.
Mm-hmm.
Did she deserve to be in the bottom too? Yeah, I mean, you know, if RuPaul really wanted to save somebody, she could have done what she did last week and said, hey, Nymphia Wynn, I'm saving you because you did that and this was a misstep. Clearly, she didn't save Plasma. She could have. She did not. So she didn't care about Plasma nearly as much as everybody else did.
Right.
I think she did the right move.
Okay.
By the way, because we totally glossed over this, your tops for this week were Dawn, Nymphia Wynn, and Q. And the
Q winner, was amazing. Q was amazing.
Q understood the assignment.
She that was one of the most beautiful looks I've ever seen on Drag Race. Period. Really, really amazing stuff.
Yep.
Amazing stuff. What's also amazing is the island. on Survivor, and Gordon, you called this one right away. You did.
I don't know how he does it, but he keeps doozing it.
So here's what happened. A lot of this week's show was about character story development. Okay.
Yes.
And there was a lot of story development on all sides. And once we got to the immunity challenge, and boy, this, I have to admit, Gordon, this was one of the best challenges ever, really, because this was fun. Okay. So, one person had to unknot a rope to pull out the machete, chop a rope, and get two wheels to put it on a cart, making sure the cotter pin is in there so the wheels don't fall off. Then they have to push a cart to a certain spot and dig two heavy chests out of the sand and then push it to a certain point. Once they got it to a certain point, the teams had to clear obstacles in an obstacle course out of the way so they can get their cart to the end of the maze and then put their chests on a table. Then they can then open up the chests and then have to solve a puzzle. But it's not an ordinary puzzle. The puzzle is they have to create an arch puzzle with the word persistence on it. However, the blocks have to stay in between the arch. If they fall, you have to start over.
And oh, they've done this before.
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, okay, I don't remember.
Yeah, they've done the whole arch puzzle, which has the letters on both sides before. This is a little bit early, but yeah, they've done this before.
Okay. Well, this is just me. So all the teams kept getting to a certain point. But however, the results were the same as per usual. The yellow team got immunity again. The green team and a reward of a huge fishing kit. The green team got got second, and the semi fishing kit. And Yanu yet again is back at tribal.
You know, what would have been nice is maybe they had a tall, lanky person to help hold the arch together. Oh, by the way, they just voted that person off last week.
Yeah.
Well, they may have voted that person off, but they had the right person to vote off, you know? I'm just saying that was the right call, but they may have
big,
needed
hey, it. Hey, 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 I'll say, hey, four words regarding Jelinski. Big stick, no love.
Right, exactly. Correct. Okay.
So now Tiffany is basically lashing out at the Yanu camp because she didn't want to be perceived as a person who can't keep cool at challenges. Meanwhile, Jess is apparently the next target because I don't know if she had a case of Jelinski, but nobody can rely on her. Mm-hmm. So now...
If you remember on the last episode, it was going to be Jelinski or Jess.
Right.
So now it's like, well, we knocked off the first person, let's knock off the other one.
Right, but a guy named Vanu was like, I'm an emotional guy, I wear my emotions on the sleeve, right at Tribal, and everyone's going, shut up.
You have Jess, the right to remain silent. I do wish you would use it.
Right, exactly, and Jess was like, don't make the block even hotter.
And I don't understand why Jess acted like that, because that was dumb. Jess should have just said, you know what, I'm going to shut up. Let's see if I can have him hang himself.
Yep. Meanwhile, it seems like everybody has a plan to try and snuff out Jess. Tiffany and Kenzie make a fake idol and hide it where a real idol was. Jess did not pick up on it. Q wanted to sneak the fake idol to her directly. She never picked up on it.
To get to the point here.
Jess got out for
everybody voted for Jess. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Everybody voted for Jess.
Yeah, and by the way, before we end this, you know, some of the storyline from the other tribes, if Venus's tribe loses, don't be surprised if she's the next one to leave there.
Yeah, because right now we're getting a pagonging at the moment, and if we get to three, we're going to have a double, you know, a double buff, you know, a split.
We're gonna split the. We're gonna shuffle everything up from three tribes to two.
Yeah, that's what they're gonna do. Yep, because you can't just do a pagonging anymore. You know,
no. you cannot.
Maybe
do
you can. Things. Maybe you can't. But we'll find out later.
Yeah. So let's go to Bocas del Toro, Panama, in week two, where. Excuse me, Rob versus the island. I mean, Deal or No Deal Island.
No, it's not Rob versus the island. It's Rob and Aaron versus the island, because for some reason, Rob and Aaron are acting like Batman and Robin. Even down to their own Batcave for some reason. I don't get it. But anyway. But
it's also very interesting because I have to ask this, Gordon, and you watch Deal or No Deal Island, right? I'm assuming you both
did. I did.
Okay. Is there a point where in the edit, you know, is Rob, I don't know how to put this, is he exploiting someone that's that nerdy and that socially awkward? Or do you think that Aaron knows?
Jay, how do you think he won Survivor?
Oh, I understand that, but you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, and the answer is overwhelmingly yes. That's how he won Survivor. Just like it could be how Sandra's going to win the Traitors, and we'll get to that later.
Okay. Okay, so the banker decided...
Keep this in mind. If you win Deal or No Deal, you can pick off anybody that you want except for whoever's in first place.
Right.
So, yes, the correct strategy is to get a stranglehold on everybody, and everybody is your friend, which is one of the things I hate about the show.
Right, okay, yes, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, so anyway, Jay, what happened?
So in this week's physical, in this week's Survivor Challenge...
In this week's Everybody Loves Rob.
In this week's, they're called excursions, by the way.
Yeah, in this week's they're called... The cult of Rob.
Yes.
Okay. One of you are paired into teams of two. One of you is going to be a hunter. The other is going to be a gatherer. The gatherer is going to go deep into the forest, climb up a tree, and get as many arrows as you can for your partner, the hunter. That hunter is going to take those arrows, go to a sort of Hogan's Alley shooting gallery, and.
Deep Nintendo reference. Very good. Okay. Right, I got it.
Then, using a crossbow, try and shoot down a target. The bigger the target, the less the attached case is going to be worth. The smaller the target, the more money it's going to be worth. The smallest target on the board is worth $1.5 million.
Right.
Whee!
So, but the banker has decided to add a little twist that way high up on the trees are personal offers. If you get them, you get $20,000 no matter what. You're leaving the island with $20,000. And someone took it. I forget who, but that's okay. But Kim's partner got 10 arrows, okay? 10.
I believe it was Alyssa who took the personal because Alyssa got 10 arrows and the personal offer, passes the arrows off to Kim. Kim whiffs all 10 arrows and ends up automatically in the bottom. Meanwhile, because it takes forever and a day for Aaron to grab arrows, he only got three. He got three arrows. Got it back to Rob, and, you know, it's either a fault of the editing or whatnot, but on his last shot, Rob hits $1.5 million and guarantees safety for himself and Aaron. Not only that, they get to choose either Kim or Alyssa to play Deal or No Deal in the baker's temple. I cannot believe these words are coming out of my mouth, all right? So, Kim is chosen to go to the temple, play Deal or No Deal.
Not surprisingly, because Rob and Aaron want her gone because she's being too, she's playing too hard too early.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, this is the correct time to do it, because if she wins, neither of them can be eliminated.
Right.
However, exactly. If she loses, now all of a sudden they have an enemy that they want to try to get rid of.
No. If she loses, she's out.
I mean, if she wins and they lose, then they have an enemy. If she loses, then she's out. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
That's right. So what happens is that there are only 12 cases in the game. And where did it get down to, Chico?
Okay, so it got down to... It only went two rounds, believe it or not. It was... Okay, the first round knocked off $1, a penny, $400,000, $750,000, $300, $450,000, and no deal for $123,000. That left us with $100, $50,000, $300,000, and the $1.5 million. So, Gordon, I'm going to tell you the deal, and you tell me how you should play this, because you are really good at this. The bank offers $225,000.
Oh, that's an absolute no deal. You keep playing. Because you have four cases left. It's 2-2, 50-50. What you're trying to do is trying to better your odds. So what you really want to do is playing 50-50, playing no deal. If you can knock out one of the lower cases and you can get the amount over 300, then the only case that hurts you is the 1.5, and everything else helps you.
Okay.
Play the odds.
You got to play the odds. Exactly. You got to play the odds. Kim does not play the odds. She takes the deal for $225,000, which puts the final case at $825,000. Kim's case, which, by the way, was number five, was worth $100. She is safe, and she gets to choose one person, except for Rob and Aaron, who will be eliminated. And that person was Jameel, who didn't really do much of anything except, fall in with the cult of Rob, which I guess has turned Claudia into a bit of a heel, if you've seen it.
Yeah, she
Well, but wait a second. It's a good move to get rid of anybody that you feel is connected to the cult of Rob. So if she knows that she's connected, then she got to go.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. So let us go to the traitors.
Yep, we haven't talked a lot about the traitors, but obviously it's an awesome show. I love to watch it. Jason loves to watch it. Gordon, he thinks it's okay.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's like applesauce. You like it on festive occasions.
Yes. So we are down to our final six after a bloodbath, but only one person got kayfabe murdered, and that would have been John Bercow, former Speaker of the House of Commons from the UK. Meanwhile, the two who were banished were Peter Weber from The Bachelorette and Phaedra Parks from Married with Medicine.
So the final six are Trishelle from The Real World Las Vegas, Cake Chastain from the first season of The Traitors and Below Deck 2, Sandra Diaz-Twine, Mercedes M.J. Javid, Chris C.T. Tamborello from The Real World and all those challenge stuffs, I believe, and Cherie Whitbread from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. How many episodes are left?
We have one. That's why we're doing the Who Wins If.
Oh, it's got to be Sandra Diaz-Twine. This is going to be the second Survivor player that wins this.
Yeah, the thing of it is, she has to... I guess the five faithful, who, by the way, are Trishelle, Sandra, MJ, CT, and Sheree, have to survive the night against Kate, the lone remaining traitor. Unless some sort of last episode hinkiness happens, and Kate gets to recruit more traitors to her cause. Remember, the only way to win this game is to get rid of all the traitors.
Well, you know, they left something in that last episode, which is Sandra questioning Kate. So Sandra's on to Kate. That may be really good for Sandra or really bad. Because if Kate's willing to murder somebody, Sandra may be murdered. And then the greatest player to ever play this game will be out at the end. Or she may recruit Sandra. And obviously Sandra will accept it. This close to it.
Can you have more than one? Can you have another traitor?
You can have another traitor.
Okay.
Yeah, Kate was one of the faithful when she entered the game as an intruder, and she was recruited as a traitor.
Okay.
So, yeah. You can absolutely be a faithful who is recruited as a traitor. Just ask Parvati!
Okay.
But yeah, there were two original traitors, Phaedra and Dan Giesling. Both of them were banished. So, yeah.
So, if I remember correctly from the last season, there will be one more murder, there will be one more banishment, and then at 4, they can elect to end the game or continue. However, they do not know if they have if all the traitors have been banished.
Yes.
Until the very end when they say we're going to end the game.
Yes, they're playing their hunch at this point. And if they don't get rid of Kate, then Kate leaves with all of the money, which right now is at $168,100.
Okay, actually, Chico, I take that back. The last episode, so no more murders. So I believe now it is one more banishment, and then with one more banishment, and then at 5, you can banish or end the game.
Yeah, so they're basically deciding, okay, do we want to... Right now, the fate is in their hands, and the only way for the faithful to win is to banish Kate.
Right.
You know, absent any endgame hinkiness from Alan Cumming. And we all know that he is capable of endgame hinkiness.
Speaking of endgame hinkiness, so to speak, we had not one, but two million-dollar shots this week.
All right, so the first million-dollar bonus round comes from yesterday's show, where we have Melissa Ito, a black belt, Monica Victor from New York, who's a runner, and Joey Covey from Willowbrook, Illinois, who is a registered nerd. Congratulations to Joey, who ends up winning a total of $36,349, including a trip to Italy.
Nice.
And now he has a wild card, and he has the million-dollar bonus wedge.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the choices of thing, phrase, and what are you doing? He goes with what are you doing? He spins the N in win. He has the standard 6. His choices of C, H, M, I, and his wildcard pick of G. He is not staying above the fray.
But yes, and of course, everyone was going, that's a tough puzzle. Yeah, for
for a million bucks. You wanted to just hand it to you.
Right, exactly. Go ahead.
So, the good news is he doesn't win the million. Bad news, he also doesn't win 40,000. The million was just a little bit over. It was in the S in spin.
Well, then on tonight's show, Courtney Tibaldi, okay, she has $31,648. Including a collector of Greece, okay? And she also has the wild card as well, if I'm not mistaken. She picks phrase over person, place, or thing. And she picks, with the 6, MGFIH. And she says, I am loving life right now. Does that mean she wins the $1 million? No. But she won another 40,000 to leave with 71,648. And by the way, she landed in the N of win. If she would have gotten three spaces to the left, the ampersand, she would have won it all.
I'll tell you what, though, with over $71,000 in cash and trip, she can afford to love life right now.
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing right now. But we're also going to a break. Oh, we're going to a break because I need to get my shark repellent on. Because we're doing Shark Watch.
Does that shark repellent actually work?
No. So we have to just swim very carefully.
Okay, but first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Blockstick. And stay with 5-1, your home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we will give you 22 different obstacles we're going to be seeing in Deal or No Deal Island if Chico or me or Jason produced it.
Oh, God. Flaming mud.
Rabbit man-eating lawyers.
Quicksand. Snakes.
What rabbit man-eating lawyers in quicksand.
Snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes?
The whole UNC men's basketball team.
Talk about savage.
Go Duke.
Huh. Gordon, I guess Gordon did see Notre Dame on Tuesday.
All right, we'll be back right after this. This is 5-1's production of We Love to Interrupt. Let's go.
Think about your mother, your sister, your girlfriend. One in six women is a victim of sexual assault. Now think about your father, your brother, your best friend. Men are victims too. Rape can happen to anyone. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, encouraging you to call the National Sexual Assault Hotline to learn how to support someone you love. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
RAIN Vision has been brought to you by Fire Me Please, the Nikki Haley version.
Yeah, Nikki Haley. You're washed. It's over.
Yes. Go ahead.
She may be good for 4 years from now, but for now, and I'll guarantee you, it was all because the Supreme Court said, yeah, he could still run. Nikki Haley said, that's out of here. I quit. That is Fire Me, the Nikki Haley edition.
I wish I knew how to whistle. I would be just going, yeah, that happened. Yeah, well.
Well, that all happens, but hey, you know what?
I didn't say anything politically bad one way or the other.
No.
Well, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You know what you did. You know exactly what you did. And what I also need you to do is say those five words we all so love.
I will stay neutral, buddies.
For now. I know.
For all that beautiful green footage.
Doug Morris.
From the corners of the globe to your frontal lobe. This is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Oh my God, this show just got so awkward. Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, remember you can listen to Doug Morris every Sunday on Rock 104's Rock Tracks. Follow him on all social media at Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and Tracks Productions. And please don't forget to download all of the apps so you can listen all over the known
multiverse.
Or you could just go to rock104fm.com and listen there. Anyway.
One of the bats is shaped like an Amazon box.
Yes. Although, if you look very closely, It has the Fox logo on the butt of it.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it does.
That will make sense in a moment, but let's talk about what Fox has in store this summer. And you might want to buckle up because it is a lot. First of all, we have the return of Jamie Foxx and Corinne Foxx in season 7 of Beat Shazam, which, if I'm not mistaken, is going to continue shooting in Ireland.
Yes, and by the way, thank goodness Mr. Foxx is doing okay, because that was pretty scary, whatever it was.
Whatever it was, it was indeed pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we have the second course of Food Stars with Gordon Ramsay, who is playing against Lisa Vanderpump. Okay.
Against or with?
Against.
Okay.
It's sort of going to be like a worst cooks sort of situation.
Except for the fact that they're actually also shooting this in the UK, not in
the US.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And we also have dates for the new seasons of I Can See Your Voice at May 16th. Don't forget the lyrics, May 16th. The Quiz with Balls, May 28th.
We talked about that last week.
MasterChef, May 29th. And the new season of Name That Tune, which will begin June 3rd. Meanwhile, as we go further down the line on Fox, we have Crime Scene Kitchen returning for season 3 during the 2024-2025 season.
I like that show. It's a fun show.
I like it too. It's awesome. But now we go to the Amazon smiley joining the Fox logo, because we all know that the 1% Club is going to be the next great game show from Prime Video. Now we have Fox joining a second window situation, and we have a host.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all want to know who the host is?
I know who the host is.
It's Patton Oswalt.
Mm-hmm.
Who is absolutely incredible. And I cannot wait to see what he has in store for the show. Because as you know, this is not a quiz show in the biblical sense. It is more like a logic quiz more than anything. If you remember last week, we talked about that logic puzzle that everybody missed.
Right. But you're burying the lead here. Once it goes on to Amazon, the episode then goes on to Fox, right?
Right.
What's the window? What's the secondary window?
They do not mention the secondary window. Once the episode is aired on Prime Video, it will then air on Fox. It says, this is from Deadline, the series, which is produced by BBC Studios Los Angeles and Magnum Media, will premiere on Prime Video, likely in the spring. And Fox will broadcast each episode after its streaming debut.
So it could be 24 hours. It could be 3 days. We don't know. I'll ask you, Gordon, when do you think the window should be?
Window's probably going to be a couple weeks. But there's another sort of article headline thing that we're not focusing on. How many game shows have been created directly from Amazon Prime?
Zero. This is the first, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct, sir. So if they're getting into the game show game, and if it turns out to be a hit, well, guess what? You're going to be seeing more of them, a lot more. And keep in mind, Amazon's going on the cheap. And what is cheaper? What is one of the cheapest genres right now? As always, game shows.
Yep. Yes, because if you remember correctly, all the massive money game reality shows that they've done have been okay, not a massive success. Road to a Million 007 and Making the Cut, for example.
And The Pack. Don't forget The Pack.
Oh,
yeah, but
I want to forget The Pack, but don't forget The Pack.
Oh, the back wasn't terrible. Well, it wasn't great either, but none of those are shiny floor game shows. This is their first one.
Yep.
Or at least, if not their first one, their first one in a while.
So that is something to look forward to down the line. Right now, here is something to look forward to for the next week.
Yes, on Thursday is the season finale, as we just talked about it on the Traders. And Friday is the are they showing the season two or season one?
Season two.
Of the Traders UK. Next Tuesday is the season premiere of Password. Yay. And the season premiere, we have to say it, with Emmy Award-winning host Kiki Palmer. You cannot forget that. Wildcard Kitchen premieres on Tuesday, and next Wednesday is the reunion of Love is Blind and the 90-minute season premiere of The Amazing Race.
By the way, you can watch the first 5 minutes of The Amazing Race on Entertainment Weekly's site right now.
Well, that's right. They are in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Okay.
By the way, did we mention that Gritty is involved, too?
Well, that's we'll talk about that. But we need to talk about Dead App, though. So, our good friend RuPaul Charles, who is ruling the world of drag and TV, movies, and pretty much everywhere else around the world, has a new book out called The House of Hidden Meanings, which is a memoir of him being, gay and drag from birth till 40. But he also has a new online marketplace called Allstora with the RuPaul's book club. Now, Allstora is an online independent marketplace housing over 10 million titles, but the key is here, they're offering fair compensation and more opportunities for women and authors of color, including self-published authors. This is all starting as part of the Rainbow Book Bus Tour, which is giving out copies of his book and other banned books all over the country, including LGBT books in particular. Now, what is Allstora, Chico?
Allstora is basically, per the extent of my research, Allstora is sort of a book clearinghouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that is founded by RuPaul Charles and his team of fellow creatives.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. When they say they are carrying any book, in fact, this is from Allstora's own back, by the way. At Allstora, we believe that the censorship of any book, perspective, or story is incompatible with the survival of democracy. We cannot fight the ideologies of hate if we lack the ability to study, understand, and react to them. For this reason, like university libraries and online book marketplaces around the world, Allstora has made the decision to carry all books. That said, we're determined to mitigate the potential harm of specific books by, one, creating a community-led flagging system for titles that are contrary to our core values, and two, donating all proceeds from these titles to fight book bans of diverse literature through the Rainbow Book Bus. So you are going to be exposed to a library of works from queer and trans writers, and that's going to be really, really awesome. But if you do a little more digging deep, and somebody much wiser than I has already dug deeper than I possibly could, you're going to find books such as A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality, You Are Not Born That Way, Homosexuality, It's Time to Break Free, and Mein Kampf.
Well, let me give you, Mein Kampf, I can understand that one, because the idea is that if you don't read what that you-know-what wrote, you might actually forget about what he wrote and why he wrote it. You see?
If you don't remember your past, you're doomed to repeat it.
The fact of the matter is
this. You can't, if you're really doing freedom of speech, it's not Well, it's freedom of speech as long as it's my speech and no one else's speech that has that same freedom. So, therefore, as much as it is distasteful in terms of some of these, you do have to respect it. Whether or not it is smart or not, we'll see. But
yes, by the way,
have some stuff that's not smart.
A book like that will carry this following note, and I'm getting this from Reality Blurred. With the help of our community, we flagged this book as contrary to our core values. All proceeds from this title will go toward protecting diverse literature and marginalized communities from book bans through the Rainbow Book Bus.
Well, put it to you this way. If they stick to their word and publish every book without any censorship, I'm down. Because even Amazon bans books. Okay? So, let's see. But this, not so smart.
That's dumb.
So, you remember we talked about a few weeks ago that Nigel Lithgow had to leave So You Think You Can Dance because of sexual assault allegations? Pardon the trigger warning. He's gotten another one.
Yep, and I have the complaint right here. Lithgow's sexual assault and battery were so traumatizing. This is according to Jane Doe of a filing in L.A. Superior Court, that plaintiff no longer feels like the confident, capable, and independent woman that she was before the incident. Similar to an alleged 2015 attack Paula Abdul detailed in her own suit late last year, and the early January sexual assault and battery, sexual harassment, and negligence civil suit by Jane Doe KG and Jane Doe KN, this latest Jane Doe's claim occurred at Lithgow's L.A. residence.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, I'm not going to repeat all of it, but I will say, and this is from the brief, as a result of the indecent, plaintiff has suffered severe emotional and psychological distress, guilt, humiliation, and embarrassment, all of which have greatly impacted her professional and personal life. And yeah, and Paula Abdul's lawyers have come out and said as much, saying, according to a statement, Mr. Lithgow's answer to Ms. Abdul's complaint is classic victim shaming. Mr. Lithgow fails to appreciate that he held a position of power over Ms. Abdul. He was a producer on American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance, and she was the talent. He held the cards to her career in his hand, and he knew it. It thus is no surprise that Ms. Abdul placated to his ego with positive messaging and seeming adoration. These are the defenses that many women like Ms. Abdul had to adopt to deal with men who abuse their power.
Okay.
There's a lot there that we don't know.
No, we do not.
There's a lot there that will be alleged, and there'll be things that we will never know.
Yes. No.
And all we could say to that is do your own research. Form your own opinion.
Correct.
And when there's news that breaks out on it, we'll be reporting it.
Yes.
Including this haterade.
Haterade!
Now, this is haterade with a little bit of karma, okay? So, a Conservative Party member in the United Kingdom, Baroness Jacqueline Foster, has been forced to apologize and pay damages to a University Challenge contestant who she accused of making a coded anti-Semitic attack via an octopus mascot and jacket supposedly emblazoned with the colors of the Palestinian flag. Okay. She was making a complaint and the Baroness took to Twitter, now X, to apologize for my part in posts made about Malika Gorgiana. In the aftermath of the episode, she wrote, I wrongly allege that Miss Gorgiana chose one of the most disgusting anti-Semitic symbols, a blue octopus, as her team's mascot, which I held her responsible for. I accept these allegations were completely false and unfounded. I made a grave mistake in making those posts and should not have done so. And it was filmed months before the October 7th attack. And of course, the octopus is also a favorite of Oxford. and the colors of the jacket were not the same as the of Palestine. And by the way, this is the second time University Challenge has been dinged. Remember, we talked about it last this year about the disabled contestants talking about being not having consideration not for them. They need to get some work. They really need to go somewhere. That's, all joking aside, not very good. Not very good at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, you know, you have the freedom of speech, especially online. But with freedom, I mean, with proper freedom comes responsibility. You have to know when it is apropos to use it.
Exactly.
Sometimes the fear of something happening is often greater than the reality of something happening. And obviously, this lady preying on people's fears over things that are just absolutely way too complex to even post on social media about. And now she's basically returning, albeit taking some responsibility for what she said.
Oh, there's one thing, if I may, there's actually something we necessarily forgot to talk about in the business end that is, shall we say, game show adjacent.
What's that?
We talked about the fact that CBS is doing their first soap opera.
Oh, yeah. It's
called The Gates. And it's the first soap opera to premiere on any of the major four networks in almost 25 years. 1999, not
89. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about Passions. Yeah, it's the first new soap opera in 25 years, but also the first soap opera with a predominantly people of color cast in 35 years since Generations on NBC, which lasted all of 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. But Gordon, I have a question for you. Do you think with that, do you see any more potential game shows in the future, maybe, on the daytime end?
Yeah, I definitely think that there would be. There's, you know, we can discuss that in detail in a future show.
Yeah, but
this one's chock full of stuff, and we need to keep running. As a matter of fact, there could be some media pros that will be more involved.
Well, but first of all, we do need to go. We know go around the world very quickly before the media pros.
All right, so we're going to take a first stop at Spain, who has picked up their own version of the quiz with balls. It will be hubbed out to Holland for production. So that's...
Cuestiones con pelotas. Anyway.
See.
Next one.
Okay, then we're going to the UK, where we say goodbye to a quiz show and darts legend in Tony Green.
Okay.
He was the commentator on Bullseye between 1981 and 1985 with Jim Bowen.
There you go. But now it's time for the media pros.
Now it's time for the... Oh, wait. I got one more. To replace Question of Sport, we have a new spinoff of Have I Got News for You? That's in development.
Okay, cool. All right.
Now we get the media pros.
Right.
I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes.
In this week's media pro report,
I have two of them. First of all, Chris Harrison is joining Dr. Phil's Merritt Street Media and will host the morning and also contribute to Dr. Phil Primetime. Number two, we lost Deborah Bird, the vocal coach for American Idol and the voice, was 72. She passed away on Tuesday and was also vocal coaches for American Idol, Canadian Idol, Military Idol, The Voice, Majors and Minors, and also worked with Kelly Clarkson, Fantasia, Jennifer Hudson, Bob Dylan, Barry Manilow, and others.
Wow.
So. Yes, so and there's that.
That literally just came out, didn't it?
She passed away, about 3 hours ago, yeah. four hours ago-ish. Yes.
All right. So, continuing in the Media Pro report, Sinbad, who, of course, was on Star Search, he returns in a video after his stroke.
I hope he's doing all right.
I hope so, too. Vince McMahon is looking to sell $412 million worth of TKO stock.
Already done. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm doing some scroll. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Lee Merriweather and her daughter, Kyle Oldham, both diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Oof.
That's wild.
Wow. Rough.
Really rough. Michael McIntyre cancels his shows for an emergency operation. Memphis Garrett and Christmas Abbott file for divorce. Trixie Mattel is hosting the AMBYs, which is a podcast award show. Kelty Knight has been promoted at E! News. Joel McHale says that The Community and a movie will shoot this year. Jenny Ryan is taking some time off from The Chase to tour the UK with, and now I'm quoting, Tunes, Tales, Trivia, and Showbiz Secret. Remember, she is what we call a lady bass.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them are your hoe of the week. If I could direct your attention to your screens.
This happened tonight on the season premiere of The Masked Singer. What happened was, is that, everybody was doing their normal one except The Book, who literally pooped the bed on purpose, and you'll see why. Roll the clip.
This clip comes courtesy of Fox and NBC.
Okay, you can stop it there. You can stop it there because the echo. The prank war between Nick Cannon and Kevin Hart continues because he unmasked on purpose, and that was the big. Gordon, that's the biggest star ever, really, on this show in 11 seasons. Yes, no, one of them.
Maybe.
All right.
I mean, you know, it depends on who you consider stars.
Well, Kevin Hart's just major.
Kevin Hart's a big star. Perhaps the biggest star to ever grace the Masked Singer stage.
Well, he's not the big. He's only 5'3". I mean,
I'm taller than Kevin Hart. Oh, my God.
No, I don't know. But he's short. Kevin Hart's very short. But yeah, that's cool. That was cool. Then the real competition comes in. So. But that was a pretty cool. So there's that. Oh, and yes, and he's 5'2". And he's 5'2".
Oh, so also shorter than Gordon. Awesome.
Right, pretty much. So,
I'd just like to point out that I am not the shortest person out of the three of us.
Actually, like yes, you are.
No, I'm 5'10".
And those.
I'm 5'9".
Chico, you're not 5'9". And those are your hoes.
And that is short vision. Jason, please.
I'm going to hit the button right here. Here we go.
And we do this out of love, by the way.
Yes, we do. And we're heading to the boats, and we're heading to the water for Shark Watch, and that'll happen right after this here on 5 and 1. This is We Love to Interrupt. Let's go.
WLTI is brought to you by 1 vs 100 Island. Yes, we have Deal or No Deal Island, but what's a good show without its sister companion show? And of course, because Deal or No Deal is the sister companion of One versus 100, we have One versus 100 Island, where you have to survive the night against 100 other islanders. I don't know how that's going to work, but then again, nobody knew how Deal or No Deal Island was going to work until it actually aired. So now, that's 100.
I would just say you have 100 people, and then if you get a question wrong, you get fed to the sharks.
I like that.
Or Gordon, rather than any lawyers.
I like, okay. Gordon, this is why you work in creative. I like that.
Yes, and right now we need to be working as a lifeguard on a different island. Because we have Shark Watch. So what Chico and Jay and myself are going to be doing is discussing things that could spell danger for shows that are out there or not.
My first Shark Watch is the start of the negotiation between the IATSE and Teamsters and the AMPTP. Do you see a lot of sharks? No sharks or smooth sailing.
I see some sharks, but I also see a bunch of cages. I see a lot of people who are going to be negotiating, a lot of people who are going to be fiery about negotiating, but a lot of people who are also going to be careful about negotiating. We don't want a reprise of last year.
You may not want it, but you're going to get it. I see a Sharknado. I see a CGI shark. I see a Steven Spielberg shark. I see cardboard sharks. I see real sharks. I see Shark-O-Mania on this, because I'll guarantee you they have not learned anything. And we're going to get, it may not be as long as everybody else's, but we're going to get another strike.
So you think there's going to be another shutdown?
Oh, yeah. I do. I don't think it'll be nearly as long, but it really seems like, at least in this age, they're saying, well, you're not going to do it. We're going to go, really? Watch me.
Okay.
It's already happened with 2 out of 3 big groups. I can easily make it 3 out of 4.
I happen to agree with you, Gordon, but I don't see it as many sharks. I think what's going to happen is that the sharks are going to about to approach the island, but I think in a last minute ditch effort, some chum is going to be thrown and it'll be saved, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh no, you have not been, if that's what you're thinking, you've not been paying attention. They have already said they're not interested in an extension. So it is New Deal or we walk.
That's true.
They're pulling the exact same thing as SAG-AFTRA.
I have the quote from union leaders from Sunday's rally. This is what solidarity looks like. As everybody knows, Teamsters aren't afraid of a fight, and IATSE isn't either. And although WGA and SAG-AFTRA had to strike last year to get what they needed, I'm here to tell AMPTP, and they know, and that's why they fear us the most, that with IATSE and Teamsters together, if we don't get what we want, we will shut it down day one.
Yeah, and they're absolutely right. This is a group that AMPTP needs to be real concerned about, because IATSE affects everything. So, yeah, keep going, next one.
Okay, next up. So You Think You Can Dance returns this week. I have the ratings for So You Think You Can Dance.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Nearly 1 million viewers on Monday opposite The Voice and whatever was on CBS at the time.
What about The Bachelor?
Did you say nearly 1 million?
Barely 1 million.
Yeah, that's big, big trouble. I see Taylor Swift's and Lady Gaga's dancing left shark and right shark.
By the way, it was The Bachelor on ABC, NCIS on CBS, and The Voice on NBC.
Now, was the NCIS a new episode or was it a rerun?
It was a new episode.
That's why. I put it to you this way. There's a very congested shark out there, and one of them has Nigel Lithgow in its mouth. Seriously. What this is the last gasp of a franchise, and unfortunately, you could bring out all the stuff that you want, but I also think that people are actually listening to this, and also they put it in a bad spot against The Bachelor, The Voice, and NCIS, three of the most popular shows on TV. Bad move, Fox.
And I know that we have to move on, but I also think that that's part of the issue is that this is close to being the end. I agree with you on that. And because it's a swan song sort of thing, this is where everybody's coming out and going, well, this may be our last chance to get some money out of Nigel. So, and this may be Nigel's way of saying, well, let's put it up on Monday so we can't make a lot of money on it.
Strategy.
But yeah, they're shark and shared.
Moves
next
and
one.
Counter moves. Got it. Next, Gordon.
Absolutely.
Gordon.
Yes. I'll take the next one. You know, CBS, and let's go back to CBS. They have a new daytime show. What does that mean for all the other game shows that are currently on CBS?
Okay.
You're talking about the new soap opera we mentioned earlier.
The Gates, yes.
Yeah.
The Gates. Oh, okay. You know what it is? The water is clear, baby.
Water's so clear you can see to the bottom.
Yeah, because what this does, this is actually enhancing the show's power, because no show on CBS daytime has actually done. As a matter of fact, as at the end of last month, after the end of January, The Talk and Let's Make a Deal with Price is Right were at their highest ratings in a long time. Ratings are going up, not down. It is, the sharks are avoiding us. It's clear. It's sunbathing. What about you, Gordon?
You know, here's the problem with that thought. Where are you going to put it?
If I am CBS, I am asking for the 2 o'clock hour? I'm asking for the 2 o'clock hour.
You're canceling The Talk?
No, The Talk is at 1 o'clock.
It's on 2 o'clock.
Well, you got to remember, Jay, that not everything is national. So, like, for argument's sake, Let's Make a Deal is on in the afternoons on the West Coast.
Yeah, right. I'm asking for an hour from the affiliates. Based, what it comes down to is I'm asking for an hour from the affiliates.
So, yeah, I see sharks, but not attacking the game shows. I agree. That may be affiliate programming if they can get the affiliates involved.
There's one that's going to be very interesting, which is the Drew Barrymore show. I don't know how long that one's going to last. Isn't that a CBS property as well?
Yeah, but it's syndicated.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
It's like CBS owns it.
I'm not sure whether or not you're going to want to stick a soap opera at 9 a.m. or at least in the New York area at 9 a.m.
Here's
the thing.
Because, hold on 1 second. Because CBS is the only network with two soap operas on right now. There's four on the network right now.
Yeah.
Next one.
Next one. I'm going to go to Wheel of Fortune for a moment. We had $2 million shots this week. And again, no $1 million winner since 2014. It's been 10 years, people. Specifically about the bonus round, not the game itself. What do you see?
I'm not seeing anything
Alphabet Soup.
I'm not seeing anything.
Alphabet. I like that. Alphabet Soup. Very good.
No. I see.
Yeah, I see Alphabet Soup. I don't see if it ain't broken, don't fix it. There's nothing wrong with it. Everything's going to be okay. Eventually, you're going to get $1 million winner.
Yes.
And to be quite honest, you actually don't want to see $1 million winner because it's going to wreak havoc on the budget. And then we're going to get like Xeroxing.
yes.
Xeroxing my poodle as the bonus round.
Yeah, did we mention the whole thing about standards and practices and you're not supposed to rig a game show one way or the other? Because I don't think the internet really understands that.
No, they don't. You're
seeing my zebra on Xanax. That would be
Cornwall!
Zebra on Xanax.
No. Xeroxing your zebra on Xanax. Ape, what are you doing? What am I doing?
Gordon made the quote. Well, anyway.
Next one.
We talked about Wheel of Fortune. Let's talk about Jeopardy. Okay. Now, this is an interesting little factoid, but when Lucas Partridge, you know who Lucas Partridge is, by the way?
The last real person contestant before the tournament went down?
Yes. When he returns in April, he is going to be the longest serving champion in Jeopardy history, supplanting Ken Jennings.
Okay.
What do you see for his prospects to repeat on his first show back?
Ha! I see sharks. I just see sharks. I actually see two of them. That would be the other contestants, because they want to win too. And to be that out... He's got to have been practicing. He's got to have been watching. I see sharks, but not a whole lot of them.
Well, but that's the whole reason why I think he's going to be okay. I see a school of fish. Because he's been learning.
Oh, you know what I see? Before. Piranhas. Much.
I could see a school of piranhas, but I think that he's going to be munching on the other contestants.
Okay.
You like what I did there, Jay, or should I go to my room and think about what I did?
No. I like that because... No. I like it because it's intelligent. It's cool. I like that sort of thing. Okay. So...
Here you go.
All right.
Oh, no. Gordon, you're the last one.
I am,
but I wanted to get Chico's opinion.
I said piranhas. I see piranhas.
Oh. Okay. You can see piranhas.
All right. If you don't have one, okay. I have one. If you don't have the last one, I have the last one.
Well, I'll hear your last one, and I'll see if it's better or worse than mine.
Okay, so Deal or No Deal Island lost half of the Voice's audience and then lost another third of its audience from last week to this.
Ooh, the ratings are that bad?
Comparatively, yes.
Sand Sharks.
Sand Sharks?
I think we're... I don't think they're baby sharks. I think they're biggie sharks. Because, again, what it sounds like is people tuned in and then didn't like what they saw and then said, leaving by. So, and it could have been for the number of reasons that I said, you know, where's Brooke Weech? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll say Sand Sharks. Or even Dollar Sharks. Because that's what they're losing right now, dollars.
Right, yes. Dollar sharks indeed.
Okay. Gordon, you got one more?
Sure, we'll do a bonus.
Let's do a bonus one.
I'm feeling bonusy.
Okay, you know, we'll be silly here. Survivor. The Yanni tribe. So we're not talking about the show. The show is fine. The Yanni tribe. What chance do they have of seeing anybody get past the merge in any sort of reasonable way?
Okay. I don't know how they did it, but the population of sharks has increased over that particular island in Fiji. They're in trouble. They are in trouble.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
I actually think they're going to be okay for this reason. You've already seen in this past episode, people that just don't like each other. If Yanu is smart, they will use that to their advantage and try to get a wedge and then be possibly one or two deciding votes, especially if there's only one or two of them left. They can be used, if they're smart, they can be used as a commodity. So I'm going to say some sharks, but maybe for the other teams.
Ooh, that could be interesting. Could be interesting.
That's definitely going to be, we're definitely going to keep an eye on that, especially next week. Next week, I think, is going to be the telling week, because if they end up in tribal council again, there is absolutely no hope for this tribe.
As a tribe.
Exactly.
Well, we shall see what happens. But now we get a speed round after this.
Here on 5 and 1.
Yeah, this is We Love to Interrupt.
Let's go.
Brain Vision has been brought to you by Billion Dollar Wheel of Fortune. You thought Xerox and Zebras while on Xanax was fun? What about quivering my Quaaludes? That could be a fun billion-dollar puzzle.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, it depends on where you are. What about quacking walruses?
Quacking walrus?
What about Alex jumping Karras's Jehovah's Witnesses?
Okay. Okay, fine. We've delayed it enough. Let's hit start and let's do the speed round now. RuPaul's Drag Race. Who's next to be out of the workroom?
Mia Amon LePage is still yet to really, really come down on her game. I have to wonder if the immunity is going to be played on her behalf, or is she going to actually have to work for her place in the competition?
Oh, I have a question.
You know, I can see someone using their person to cause absolute chaos in the next episode.
Oh, you think that's what's going to happen? Full chaos?
I think something weird. Let's put it this way. You had plasma that left last episode. So,
right.
Therefore.
Well, Plain Jane has to use the immunity. Or does she?
I don't
remember.
Think it does, but if I'm smart, I use it on myself. Survivor, who leaves?
I think we're going to get the Pagonging. I think it's a third in a row, and I think it's what is it? Kelsey, what's her name? I think so.
Kenzie.
Yeah, I think she goes, and then the tribes could go from 3 to 2.
I think it's going to be Banu.
But you think? Okay.
Yanu is going to tribal again.
I don't think so. I think they put Venus having an argument with people for a reason.
Okay.
And I also think they have one person that I don't think would be leaving will be Charlie. I think he's safe for a while. I think Venus could be in trouble. Jeopardy, give me a finalist. And I'll take Ryan.
I say Ike Barinholtz in a stunner.
I am going to say, I'll go with the priest, David Sibley. Why not? Of course, we all know where we're...
Congratulations to Yogesh Rao for winning the next game. Wheel of Fortune, are we getting a $1 million winner?
No, we are not, sadly. The traitors, who wins?
I think the faithful end up splitting the money.
So they're going to split the 50.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I have two strains of thoughts. I think Sarah's going to win either way. Either A, she's a faithful, or B, she converts into a traitor. Either way, she wins.
Ooh, that would be good too. That would be.
That's
going
to be really good to watch tomorrow night. Just saying.
Now, okay, Deal or No Deal Island. Does Rob get eliminated this week?
No,
I actually think his group is going to try to take control of this game. Maybe one of them. And again, it's interesting because I may want to try to get on the bottom just so that I can have my fate in my own hands, and especially if I want to try to knock somebody out. Kim's getting a lot of screen time. That could be very bad for her. I'm going to say Kim.
Okay. That would be interesting. Oh, and by the way, just as a guess, Howie's the banker, right?
Yeah, I would say.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Do we have any mail or any comments from our first show back in a hot second?
Not yet, but if you want to go ahead and send us some, you can follow us on all social media at Game Show News Net. You can follow me at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number two. And Gordon is GSNN
Hater. And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is 5and1net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Threads, on Twitter, anywhere you can find us. We post everything going on network wide, including the wrap up of Mania on the NAWC. Jay, I know you have something to say about that.
Yeah, yes, I do. We're talking about Revolution, the final in-ring appearance of Sting as a professional wrestler, which was very cool, except for the fact Darby Allin, 2 weeks out of climbing Mount Everest, does a 20-foot swanton onto a pane of glass.
Ow.
Insane, okay? But we also have the signing of Kashikita Okada and the rumored Mercedes Moné in Boston next week. WWE is rolling towards Mania with a gauntlet match next week on Raw. And, of course, SmackDown is Cody Rhodes and Seth are going to give their answer for their night one tag match, which means, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. At least we think so. And we had the first Hall of Fame and first two Hall of Fame inductions announced. Today, Bull Nakano, the famous 1980s Japanese wrestler, was announced. And on Monday, the very well-deserved Paul Heyman is going to be inducted in Philadelphia. He is probably the head class, and a guy who is actually, in my personal opinion, one of the top wrestling minds of all time, a brilliant, brilliant human being. So crazy as hell, but a brilliant human being. So there's that. Gordon, what's happening in the UBA?
Mega Bowl this weekend. That's what's happening in the UBA.
So where are you going? Where are you going to be?
Mechanicsburg, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
somewhere
we
between Richmond and Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
Gordon?
He's looking on his map to see if I'm right or not.
Where is Mechanicsburg?
Mechanicsburg, Virginia.
It is around 7 hours from me. And it's very close to King's Dominion, if that's what Chico's thinking of.
No. Mechanicsburg is actually on the other side. It's on the western side of Virginia, just shy of West Virginia.
Yeah, it's in Bland County. I'm looking at the map, but it's a drive, and just make sure you got everything prepared. Cheap gas, tire pressure, the oil, the whole nine. You know, the whole thing.
Yes, my car will be prepared.
There you go. Chico, it was a thing. What's going on?
All right. So on Monday, we dropped an episode about Easy Street with Lonnie Anderson because we didn't know what we were going to cover that week, but we were talking about Easy Street on Lonnie Anderson. So we just say, you know what? Screw it. Let's talk about that. But as we have crossed over to midnight here on the East Coast, we have a new episode as we kick off our annual Lost in Translation Week with Days Like These, which is the British version of That 70s Show.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah, they basically took existing scripts from That 70s Show and anglicized them.
They tried to localize them. Yep. in a bad way.
Well, again, the episodes are on YouTube. Do your own research. Form your own opinion.
Gotcha. Okay. I will do that, but and I will go to Whack Donald's if you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're saying. By the way, that's not a commercial. That's an exclamation of love.
Yeah, there you go. So what's happening next week as we head through March? Because we're a couple of weeks away from March Badness, aren't we?
We are a couple of weeks, we're actually 2 weeks away from March Madness, because the tournament that Gordon and I are going to have our eyes on begins on March 19th with the first four.
Okay, but yes, so, but March 21st, and I think you should start sending it out now to give us some time to look it over.
Oh, okay, definitely.
Because we need to get 32?
We need to get 32 shows on a bracket ready for consumption?
Right, as the worst shows of 2023.
Yeah, but that's in a couple of weeks. Next week, we're talking more Survivor, more Drag Race. We handicap the Tournament of Champions, and we review Wild Card Kitchen on Food Network right after we talk about 30 seconds of Password, because, hell, we love Password, especially Jason.
Yes.
He loves Password.
I do. It's a great show. It's one of my favorites. But we need to go, so take us home.
For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.
To look.